I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday about something completely unrelated to church or anything else, but one of the things he brought up was this little aphorism that I'd never heard before, that faith is hope with a track record. And I thought about that, and I've been thinking about it ever since. And it's a fascinating way to think about it, and I think there's something there that is worthwhile for us. And as we look at Hebrews, taking another look at faith, what do we see here? We see some of the track record. It is all too easy for us to fall into, as I said last week, that false definition of faith, that it's believing something that we know isn't true. Not in a way that sort of rules our life, but if we're not careful, we'll sort of think that faith is sort of that kind of thing. And if we're not careful, we'll forget that our faith is based on something, and it's based on something real. When we look at this passage in Hebrews, this great cloud of witnesses passage, I don't know about you, but the momentum that it picks up when the writer of Hebrews, whoever that was, says, "And what more shall I say? I don't have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson," and it goes on and on. It just sort of, it picks up its own momentum, and it always lifts my spirit when I hear it, even though parts of it are very unpleasant. Not everybody who had faith ended up with exactly what they wanted. But at the same time, what we see is we see that faith and our faith is based not just on some kind of fine idea. It's not just based on a whim that we had one day. Our faith is based on things that we can look at and say, this is why we have faith. For those of us who take seriously the claims of the Bible, and not everybody does, but we do, we look at these stories that we read, and while we can't always explain how they work from physical means or through anything other than a miracle, which we're also, of course, quite open to, we look at these things that happened in the Old Testament and moving into the New Testament, even references to the intertestamental period. That's what we're pretty sure is thinking some of those people are being referenced. What we see is that people were willing to go to the ultimate for what they believed, and then what they believed was something that was real. This isn't just stories of people who believed foolish things. However the Exodus worked, it happened. However the seas parted in various places, it happened. However women received back their dead, as they say, children and things, those things happened. And we believe them, and on the basis of that belief, we then have faith. Because faith without a track record, well, I don't know what to call that. It reminds me of people who play the lottery every week. I don't do this. I don't think it's particularly evil. My aunt Eloise used to be part of this group that came from Moose Jaw, leaving behind the Moose Jaw Casino to go to the Regina Casino. And she had an amount of money that she was willing to lose. And it was, honestly, it was about the same amount of money as going out for a movie and, like a bite of dessert or something afterwards. And what she enjoyed the most was the bus trip there and back and lunch. And she would often meet my dad and his wife, and they would have lunch together. And it was just a wonderful outing. So I don't have this, I don't think that casinos are necessarily an immoral thing. I don't think lotteries are necessarily an immoral thing. I think they're dangerous for lots of people, quite possibly me, so I don't do them. And I had a math teacher who insisted that we understand probability. It's about the only thing I took out of high school math is probability. And the probability of winning a major prize in a lottery is less likely than being struck and killed by lightning. You know, I'm just not willing to do that. But I know people, and I've heard of more people, who week after week play this lottery, having faith that they will win. And people who don't do this, hopefully not me, but other people laugh at them and think they're foolish. Well, why? Because what they describe as faith is hope, but with no track record. These aren't people who have figured out a system, and so every week they they win as much as they would if they had a job, so they don't have a job. That's not what happens. Every week they pay this tax on people who don't understand probability. Our faith isn't like that. The faith that we have in Jesus, the faith that we have in God, the faith that we have in the presence of the Holy Spirit isn't based on nothing, isn't based on no results. Now, it isn't based on something as obviously cause and effect as you buy a lottery ticket and you win, which would be something altogether different. I don't really know people who do that. I can't think of anybody, really, that I know who's won any particular sum of money on a lottery. Maybe I don't know enough people. I'm not sure. But that's not what we do. The difficulty sometimes when people ask me or have asked me in the past about faith is sort of, well, how do you know it's true? What are the things you can point to? And it's sometimes frustrating for them, and for a while it was frustrating for me also, that it's not so easy to point to physical things. Like, I can't say I had faith that Knox needed a piano, we didn't have one, and then there's a piano. Like, it's not so much those things in my life. What I do have is that my faith is based on the changes that were promised to me, that my life would become better and that I would become a better person if I embraced the relationship that I had with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so the evidence I have, the track record of that faith, has been built up over the last decades. And if you didn't know me when I was in my 20s, you're kind of stuck with trusting me that I remember it reasonably accurately. But for those who do and did know me then and know me now, my family members, some long-standing friends, it's hard to keep track of all of them, but there are some. And if you talk to them, they will say there's a profound and definite change. How did that happen? Well, once again, we're back to this sort of fuzzy thing. I can't say, well, this is how it happened. It happened that, you know, I did these four things and this thing happened. It's not as clear cut as that. But clear cut isn't the only thing that matters. It's like somebody once said, if you're so inclined, you can raise objections to any kind of belief. Somebody said, well, what about partners who love each other, a husband and a wife, or, you know, that kind of parents, said, if you want, you can raise objections based on economic factors or cultural factors or something else. You can always explain things away. Whether it's compelling or not is another question. But if you're open to what people have experienced, if you're open to the witness of human beings, you will see evidence of faith, and faith worked out. And in my case, not just my own faith, but the faith of my parents. But the faith of my parents' friends who supported them when I was a very difficult child to have. It was hard for them to see one of their kids engaging in self-destructive and dangerous behavior. How did they do it? They had faith that I would work out. They didn't know how. I don't think they ever predicted I'd end up here. But they and their friends prayed for me, specifically for me. They believed that I would be preserved until such time as I was able to make that decision to be in this relationship with God that I am now and have been for a long time. That's where the track record is. When we take another look at faith, we remind ourselves that we're not just gritting our teeth and hoping. We're having faith in things that we have seen worked out in many ways, in our own life, in the lives of those around us, in the stories that we read in Scripture, the stories we read in church history. All of those experiences help us to be confident that the faith that we place in God is well placed. Any one thing can be considered a coincidence, maybe even two or three. But if you've been in church circles, if you've been in life circles for any length of time, I'm pretty sure you have enough of these coincidences that you just don't believe they're coincidences anymore. You have seen enough people who have been restored in relationships or health when people have prayed for them, when we have believed, when we have exercised our faith in a God who loves us. We see that that faith is rewarded, not always in exactly the way we ask. Heaven forbid we get the answers to all of our prayers, especially when we're little. I mean, how many ponies would there be? You know, how many homes would have too many dogs or whatever else it might be? We pray for what we want and we get what we need. And often we get what we want too. We have faith that the God who loves us knows what's best for us and will help us move towards that. It's not as satisfying as magic. It's not as satisfying as doing an incantation and poof, there it is. But magic's not real. God is real. The God we serve is real. And the God in whom we have faith is real. And because of that, our faith is also real. Amen.